Good morning. Boy, y'all look good today. Anybody tell you that today? Today I want us to answer this question. Who comes to church? Would you please open your Bibles to Mark the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. And if you'll stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Mark 3, 1 through 6. Jesus entered again into the synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They, meaning the Pharisees, were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silence. After looking around at them with anger, grieved by the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. In verse 6, the Pharisees went out, immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Father, today as we look at this scripture and we look at the different kind of people that was in the synagogue, that was in church that day, and Lord, as we compare them to our churches today, Lord, there's different ways that we can come to church and with different attitudes, and I pray that what I say today will be from God and not from Andy Hines. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, people go to church for a lot of different reasons. In Jesus' day, it was not any different than that. In our scripture today, we're going to look at three types of people that was in church that day that was defined in the scripture that we just read. Number one, there were those that came to encounter God. The Bible tells us of a man that had a wilted hand. This wilted hand kept him from being able to work and make a living. Here's a man that had a hand that was absolutely useless. Well, in those days, if you were crippled to some degree, you was useless to society. No one would hire you. And we read in Acts 3:2 that it tells us that it was okay on the Sabbath day to beg. There's several scriptures in the Bible that talks about the people coming to the temple, and they would be beggars at the door of the temple. And in this particular case here, there wasn't anybody standing at that door. You see, you would expect this man, since it was okay to beg, that he would be on the street, that he would be asking for some help. But where was this man this day? He was in the synagogue, not sitting at the door. You see, this day, this man came to church. I believe that he came to church looking for God. I believe that he came for an encounter with God. He had no idea what was going to happen that day, but when he left church, he was different. When he left church, he was renewed. When he left church, he was healed. He had a need that only God could fix. He needed a miracle, and God provided that miracle. You see, this guy came to church to worship and to seek God. He was expectant. He was ready to receive what God had for him. He could have been on the street. It seems like he was more concerned about what God had for him than somebody that a handout would have for him. So when Jesus told him to hold out that withered, crippled, useless hand, he was ready to do that. When people come to church, they should come and be ready to encounter what God has for them. They should come to worship him. They should be obedient in coming on a regular basis to church. A lot of people think it's okay if they come once a month. It's not okay unless you are prevented by health or something. To be obedient, we're supposed to come to church on a regular basis. Some might have come because there was something in their life that needed to be restored, just like this withered hand. Some come believing that God can do something to change their life. Like the crippled man, they came expecting. They came ready to receive what God had for them. They came willing to do whatever God would ask them to do. There's some of us here today that needs an encounter with God. I was thinking about as I was going over this morning. I remember when people went to church, the preacher would preach, the Holy Spirit would move, and people would come down not ashamed to shed tears and to praise God, to get things straightened out in their lives, to have an encounter, a personal encounter with the Lord. That doesn't happen anymore. We're too sophisticated for that to happen. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. We need an encounter with God. We need for God to restore something in our lives. It could be a relationship with Him. It could be a relationship with our family. I hear over and over all the time how families fight with each other. Somebody told me the other day they hadn't spoken to their sister in 32 years. See, that breaks my heart. We need an encounter with them, and God can give us that forgiveness and in return, let us forgive others. And when somebody asks for forgiveness, we should honor that and forgive them. Still others have other problems when they come to church. All of us, from one time to another, have something in our lives that we've let wither away due to unconcern and due to sin in our life and bad decisions that we make. You see, God can restore that withered life if we'll only come to Him, if we'll encounter with Him. He'll restore whatever it is that needs to be made whole in our lives again. So number one was we need an encounter with God. Number two, some people that day came to counter God, to challenge Him, to oppose Him. These were the religious leaders. You wouldn't expect that in the church, that the biggest problem that Jesus had in the church there, in the synagogues, and it was the religious people that were so jealous of it. The Pharisees were there for no other reason than to make sure that everything that went on that day in the synagogue was done according to their rules. They were not there to worship. They certainly wasn't there to have an encounter with God. They were there to make sure that their traditions and their way of doing things was followed. It seems that they already knew that Jesus had the ability to heal people. But they was there hoping that if He did, it would be done on the Sabbath. They didn't care that God Himself was at church. When they saw Jesus, they started watching Him to make sure that He wasn't going to break any of their laws, any of their traditions. And boy, they had made up a bunch of laws by this time. Their traditions and their rules were more important to them than having a relationship with God Almighty. May God have mercy on us if we ever come to the point that we let the way we do things, we want things done, stand in the way of having a relationship with God. To be in a situation that our attitude is causing the presence of God not to be felt in our life. You see, their man-made laws were more important than God's truth. The sad part about what we see in this church this day, in the scripture that we read, is it's still true to an extent. There are people who come to church and watch people to see how they are acting, to see what they are doing. Some of them want to make sure people walk the line, I heard a man say one time. To make sure that everything is done the way they want it done. These are the ones that could care less if God is there or not. I'm thankful that We don't have that, Brother Tim, in our church. There was a man in the last church that I served that fit this description to a T. When we was called to this little church up in the country, there were five people attending. There had been 50 or 60 over the years that would attend, but they had got down to five, and they asked us if we would take that church, and we prayed, and we really felt led to do that. So we started working on the situation to find out what the problem was, and they had so many rules and regulations and traditions that it wasn't even like a Baptist church. I don't know what kind of church it would have been. But we prayed about it, and we got on our knees and we wept, and we really felt led. I felt led that I should be at that church, and we went up there. And boy, what an experience, what a lesson I learned. But we got away from all those traditions and all those things, the way we used to do it. Y'all heard that so many times. We never done it that way before. Let me tell you what they did there, we never done it that way again, I'll tell you that. Because we got in God's Word and we done things according to God's Word. We based everything we did on it. We had some deacons that left another church that split up and come over there. And I can promise you the deacons didn't do it the same way they'd always done it either. I'm sorry. But God started doing some great things in the church, and we started reaching out and contacting the people in the community and the cashiers at the stores and the waitresses at the cafes, and started inviting them to come to church. And God honored that, and we prayed together, and we got on the altar together just about every week, all the five, and then 6 and 10 and 15 and 20 would get at the altar and pray that we could do exactly what God wants us to do. Because we wanted Him to have the glory and none of us. People started coming and people started giving their hearts to God. And all of a sudden, I was going to baptize. Where's the baptistry? Well, we got to take the chairs off of the choir loft and move the floor. Take a hose pipe and fill up the baptistry. Okay, well, number one, the water wouldn't work. When it finally did start working, the little faucet inside, it was rusty, hadn't been used in years. Had holes, it was leaking. We filled it up Saturday night, Sunday morning, it was empty. Had to postpone the baptism to the next week. We got some folks up there that stopped up the holes. Looked around to see how we could warm the water up. At that time, I didn't have those big things to get into, preacher, but I found out why we needed them. We found you could get a heater that you could drop down in the water and turn it on, a little electric thing, and y'all probably seen some of them, and it warmed up the water to 111 degrees. Now, let me tell you, that's not really hot, but it's not cold. I like to froze a couple of people before we got that. But we started baptizing, and God started sending us families and young people and children into the church. And the young people started getting saved, and things was really happening. God was really blessing us. And this man was so upset, he said, well, I appreciate all this happening, but that's not the what? That's not the way we've always done it. And again, never will it be the way they did it. In Sunday school class, he griped. On Wednesday night, you'd hear him griping and mumbling with folks and whispering. On Wednesday night and on Sunday night and after the service on Sunday, I don't know how people can have that kind of attitude in their heart and even come to church. I know they're not opening a place in their heart for God to convict them of what they're doing. He didn't like the music. I like all kind of music. I know that all music is not for everybody. We went to we got some people that led youth groups in different churches, you know, and they come in and they started their music. This same guy, he said, "I can't stand that music." I said, "It ain't for you." It was the kids that got on their knees with tears rolling down their faces praising God. That's who it was for. I remember one day one of the ushers, I hope this don't bother y'all, didn't wear a tie. I thought I'd never hear the last of it. But let me tell you when he almost had a heart attack. We had youth day. Had a young man preaching there, one of the youth. And I asked four teenage girls if they'd take up the offering. He liked to have a heart attack. The Bible says, I said nothing about that. You see, he was more concerned about what he wanted than what God wanted. He spent more time looking for the things he didn't like than trying to meet God. But you know what? God kept blessing us. God kept blessing us. And if you'll go up to that little town and look on that little triangle hill, there used to be a 40 by 80 block building that looked like a dog and cat hospital. And look at that beautiful church that God built. You can see what happens when people does right and encounters God. There's always going to be people that come and oppose things of God. You ever been in a church when you'd say, Bethlehem? No, I'm going to tell you what name of church. I went to a church with Mike Reeves. He's preaching revival. And we sat up there, Hank and I, Mike's brother. Mike was preaching an awesome sermon. And he said something, and Hank and I both said, "Amen." Man, it was something strange in there. Something strange in there. And how dare you raise your hand to a loving God? We don't do things around here like that. It's not dignified, a lady told us after that. Hank and I got excited preaching. You see me get excited? Praise God. That's when you have an encounter. These people are so busy making sure that everything is done their way. And they wouldn't recognize Jesus if he walked up and shook hands with them. Number three. And then there were those that come to represent God. In this particular service that we read about, that one was Jesus. You see, he came to do the work and the will of God. He was there to accomplish the purpose that God had for him. God has a purpose for us, and we're to accomplish those things. He came to meet the needs of the people and to heal the hurting. We should be concerned about that. You see, the ones who represent God are his messengers. And the Bible talks about that. We're supposed to be messengers. These are the ones that come in the authority of God. Jesus came that day with all authority. He was a representative of God, and yet with the religious leaders, the one that they were supposed to be looking up to, hated him, rejected him, and despised him being there. Was watching everything he did in order to, "I got you." I like it when Jesus says that, "I got you." Amen. It's okay to say amen in here, Brother Marvin. Because we do things like that. That means we're not dignified, preacher. I've never been accused of being dignified. He came that day to meet the needs of those that were there. He comes today to meet your needs. There's nothing too big for God to handle. Whatever it is that you're in need of, he can provide it for you. But listen now, as Christians, We are in the authority of God to do the things that Jesus taught us to do. To do the things that He did before He left and give us that responsibility. You see, we're the ones that are supposed to represent God. There are those here today that spend time and money. You wouldn't even believe it if you knew about it. To meet the needs of others. And I've seen it so many times. It's not important that we know who they are, what they do, who they help. That's between them and God. And He's going to honor that, and they'll be blessed because of it. You see, we've got 10 people in Kentucky today. Next week, we'll have how many going to Haiti? 18 going to Haiti. Meeting the greatest need of mankind of reaching the lost for Christ. We come with authority that God give us to do these things. Let me ask you a question. Why did you come to church today? Did you come to have an encounter with God? Or did you come to counter Him? Maybe you came to represent Him, to worship Him, to praise Him, to pray for and help meet the needs of the hurting, the discouraged, the disappointed, and especially the unsaved. Do you think about that? When you see somebody in the mall that looks gloomy, do you ever think about, I need to speak to him, give him some encouragement? Share Jesus with him. It's easy to do. You'd be surprised how many people are receptive to that. You see, at one time or another, everybody knows they need Jesus. We need to be there in order to be the one that shares Christ and let them know what Jesus has done in our life. I hope you came today for the right reasons. I hope also that you came expecting to receive something. That was one of the things that you wanted to do. But more than that, that's something that you received that would encourage you and inspire you to get out and don't let the church in your life stop here. The religious leaders in our scripture today left the church that day to destroy Jesus, the scripture says. And I've heard so many people griping and complaining, not here, that things didn't go right. So what does that hurt? That they didn't particularly like the piano player that week. So what will that hurt? So-and-so didn't speak to me. I think the preacher looked straight at me, but he didn't speak. So what will that hurt to have that kind of attitude? Can I tell you? You see, when we leave church with that attitude on our heart, we are also destroying Jesus in the hearts and in the lives of every person that we have influence over. You better be careful. God holds you accountable to that. If you're keeping someone from knowing Christ because of your attitude, you're going to get a whipping. If you claim to be a Christian, you're going to get a double whipping. Amen? You'll be surprised how many blessings are held back because of our attitudes. What we need to think about is, now I said so-and-so to so-and-so when I was at church. Was that good or was that bad? Did I discourage that person? Did that person think I was just a hateful old dude? See, we need to represent Jesus and help other people to know Jesus. Praise God for all the people that represent Him because they are the ones that's had an encounter with God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that everything that I said was from you. I think I preached just the way that you told me to. Lord, I pray that if we didn't come to encounter God today, that you'll burden our hearts. Help us to understand the real reason that we come to church. To come in like a filling station and fuel up so we can go out and do what you'd have us to do. Jesus, thank you for letting me stand in this place, speaking your word, because it's in your wonderful, holy, special, precious name. Amen.